guest speakers in 25 years. But we have one today, and it's Brother Jerry and Sharon Martek. They pastor a church here. And because of the march yesterday and the 17-hour day, I thought, well, we'll just let Brother Jerry come minister. So come on up here, Jerry, and present to us what the Lord put on your heart. His wife will be ministering in song at the end. So we're glad you're here. God bless you. I hope you feel a preach coming on.
Oh, I do.
All right.
Well, let's go back out, come back in. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. That's more like it. Now I feel like I'm in church. You feel like you're in church, tell your neighbor, do you feel like you're in church? Good. I just want to say, I've known Pastor Roger for several years. We met Pastor Roger when they were in the other church there on El Rancho, when we first moved up here and was planting a church. And they graciously gave us love. Now that's something. Do you understand that? That means a lot when another pastor will give a stranger pastor love. We've grown to love them very much. I know Tim and his family, we've known them for years, and you know, I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed at what I can see God doing in the churches of today. 2016 is going to be a year of reckoning for God. Not for the devil, not for man, but for God. In preparing this message this morning, I got to thinking of what's happening, the revival that's taking place. Did you notice what I just said? The revival that's taking place. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I'm praying that when Mario Morello comes here, you're already in revival. Yeah. He's going to see something different in Reno. Power of God is so real. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that is so true. That is so true. Well, in preparing for this message, I kept thinking, what would correlate or go along with Mario Morello coming? And I had several thoughts. As a pastor of so many years, you have several things you think about and what would be appropriate. My heart began to cry out. Jesus. Jesus. I gotta have more. You know, in a society and the world today, Jesus doesn't mean a lot. But for every born-again believer today, Jesus needs to be more. Amen? I've got to have more. In life, there are times we just come to the point where we just cry out to God. In our war room, some of you might have seen that, or maybe all of you have. But in our war room, we cry out, Jesus. Gotta have more. I cry out, Jesus, I've got to have more. I'm not satisfied with my life the way it is. I need more of you. I need more of your love. I need more of your Holy Spirit. I need more of your healing. And when we get to that point that we cry out, Jesus, I've got to have more. Guess what? And gives you more. Amen? More. More of his presence. More of his love. More of his Holy Spirit. More of his healing. More of his finances. More. Do you understand that he has all the finances in the world? Donald Trump doesn't. Jesus does. I want to give you, through the scriptures today, a story of four individuals that found out they needed more of God. And they came to the Master. And Jesus met them and gave them what they desired and wanted. Turn with me first to John chapter 3. What a wonderful book, the book of John. The love chapter of this Bible. The love chapter. Chapter 3. I got to put on my spectacles or I'll be reading from whatever. I won't be able to see it. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Heavenly Father, take this time, I pray. Let your anointing flow. Let your Holy Spirit move among this congregation, I pray, and have your way. In your mighty name, I pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. I need to kind of tell you the story of Nicodemus and get you into the proper perspective of Nicodemus today. First of all, we have to understand that Nicodemus was one of the head religious men of the day. He was trained in Scripture. He knew the law inside and out. And he enjoyed great status. Come on. As one who knew God, at least he thought so. But here we see him coming at night for a personal interview with Jesus. And I surmise that he probably said to Jesus, "I've got to have more than religion." Oh, more than religion. Today you may be here, been in church all your life, and you need to have a personal interview with Jesus at these altars. The reason why I say that, because a religion doesn't satisfy. There are a lot of religious people out there that don't know the Lord. They know the law. Nicodemus was a true, proven fact. He knew the law. He understood the law. He could quote scriptures backwards and forwards. But he didn't know the Master. He was very religious. But religion will bound you down. Religion will bind you up. Religion can take you down. So Nicodemus knew that he needed more. He wasn't being satisfied where he was at. Religion doesn't satisfy because it may give you great standing with others, but not a true standing with God. Nicodemus realized his position with man didn't matter anymore. What he wanted was his position with God to be right. Doesn't make a difference what your position with man is. You better make sure your position with God is right. Hallelujah. Pastor Tim was talking about hell. And he said, it's going to be quite dark there. There's a little added to that. There'll be gnashing and gashing of teeth because the pain will be so unbearable. But see, I don't want to look at hell. I want to look at heaven. I want to look at where God's going to take me. We're only pilgrims in this land. Our home is not here. Our home is in heaven. Hallelujah. I think Nicodemus felt that. He was tired of religion. He was tired of what religion was doing to him. And he felt and knew he needed more. I got to have more. Today, everyone may say, you are a great Christian. But like Nicodemus, if your standing with God isn't right, then wherever you're standing is wrong. Amen? Religion doesn't satisfy because knowing things in your head isn't like feeling things from your heart. For Nicodemus, it had all become stale. He was tired of getting up in the morning, putting on his robe, and being a somebody in the religious circle, but feeling empty inside. When he met Jesus, Jesus answered him. And here's what Jesus gave him, all of what he needed. First of all, Jesus gave him a new life. A new birth, a new beginning. Jesus let him know it was spirit, not flesh. Jesus gave him something that would satisfy the soul. Jesus gave him true salvation, which was good news to all who received. In the middle of the night, Jesus found the light of the world. And I'm saying this morning, no matter if it's in the middle of the night or the middle of the day or whatever, you need to find the Lord. You need to cry out, I've got to have more. And when your heart cries out that way, Jesus will satisfy your soul. There's another person in the scriptures that had an encounter with Jesus. You will turn with me to John chapter 4. Let's talk about another story in the Bible. It's found in verses 5 through 10. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, when he got to the well, and I turned the page, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came and drew water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, asked a drink from me, a Samaritan woman, for Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would ask, have asked him, and he would have given you living waters. Living waters. Here's a lady at the well. And it's one of the great stories of the Bible. Here's this lady. She's a Samaritan. And these Samaritans, you have to understand, were despised by the Jews because they were a mixed group. Jews who had married foreigners in the northern kingdom after the Assyrian invasion were considered half-breed and were not high up on the totem pole when it came to, you know, liking them. There wasn't too many Jews out there that wanted anything to do with them. And when they came to the well, the Jews left. They could die of thirst, but they would not come to that well and drink when that Samaritan woman was there. So, here she comes. You know? Jesus asked for water, and she tries to explain that he shouldn't be talking to me. You shouldn't talk to me. That, how are you going to get a drink of water when you don't have a bucket? Well, that is a pretty good question. And also, she tried to explain to Jesus, well, I know all about worship. Isn't that like some people that you witness to at times? They'll give you every excuse in the world. You know, I'm okay. How many of you encounter someone and say, do you love the Lord? Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. I didn't ask you that. Do you love the Lord? Oh, I know of him. I didn't ask you that. Are you born again? Let's get right to the nitty-gritty. Well, Jesus turns around and begins to talk to her. And after Jesus introduces living water that never runs dry, something that will satisfy your soul forever, she realized she needed him more than he needed her. And I believe her cry out again was, Jesus, I've got to have more. I've got to have more. She had spent her life in bad relationships and learned that earthly relationships cannot satisfy. Some of you might say amen to that one. Don't look to your wife and say that. Your relationship will really go in trouble. Husbands, be careful. Relationships do not satisfy because there are water that runs dry. Now, I'm not putting down the blessing of marriage or the blessing of other relationships because they are God-given. But without Christ in our lives, every other relationship will leave us empty. Are you following me? Relationships do not satisfy because there is hurt, rejection, fear, and a lot of other things attached to them. Only Jesus can give pure, agape, perfected love. A love that is a love at all times. A friend that sticks closer than a brother. No other love than this, than the love of Jesus to you. See, there are earthly relationships, and then there are heavenly relationships. I don't down any earthly relationship, but I tell you, without the heavenly relationship, the earthly relationship's going to always run into trouble. Is that okay? And I will say this, once you have that heavenly relationship, I'm not going to tell you your other relationships are going to be grand. But I will tell you, when they're not so grand, when you're going through struggles and you're having problems with your family, you're having problems with your wife or your spouse, you're having problems with your neighbors, you're having problems with your work. Come on. When you begin to pray, that heavenly relationship will take hold. And all the earthly relationships will work themselves out. Amen. You can say amen. Here's what Jesus gave to her. He gives her forgiveness of her sins. He gives her purpose in sharing Christ. He gives her a living testimony of life transformation. She never knew that the well was a starting place of her ministry. You never know where the starting place of your ministry. But I will tell you this. When you cry out, I've got to have more, then God will give you more, and your ministry will, if it was stale, it'll come alive. Hallelujah. Now, I love the story of Billy and Ruth Graham reaching out to Jim Baker. How many of you know Jim? I'm going to age a few of you right now. How many of you know Jim Baker? How many of you know PTL? Okay, that just aged you. I'm sorry. But anyway, after the fall of PTL, people deserted Jim Baker because of his sins. I'm sorry, but there's so many Christians that will lay that out. Instead of loving them and upholding them and trying to bring them back under God's grace, shun you. Come on now. But at the prison one day, Jim was told that he had a visitor. It was Billy Graham. Many people do not know this, but when Jim Baker was released from prison, he stayed with Billy and Ruth Graham. And from that place, his ministry was restored. It doesn't matter today how far we can fall. What matters is how high he can lift us and bring us up. Hallelujah! My goodness. I love this crowd. No wonder, Pastor, you have a grand time up here. Here's another person in the Bible that's a great story of not only redemption, but knowing more of the Lord. It's found in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. Then Jesus entered and had passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector. Don't you just love those tax collectors? And he was rich. Wonder why? Not because of the crowd. No. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste, came down, and received him joyfully. You know, it's always a great story when you hear some great individual give their heart to the Lord. Tiger Woods, Donald Trump, Bill Gates. They come to see Jesus and they say, I've got to have more. Well, let me give you a little example Donald Trump needs to say, I've got to have more to Jesus, a whole lot more. There's a little bit of humility needs to be taking place in that soul. And I love Donald Trump. I think he's a great person. But there's a little humility that needs to come that way. But miracles do happen. Are you praying for him? See? If you pray for him, then when the miracle takes place, don't say that. Well, how'd that happen? Huh? How many of you ever done that? You pray for someone that you really, you know, either you like or you don't like. Oh, Lord, save them. Oh, Lord, give them more. And then God does it, and you say, why'd you do that, God? Well, come on. You know what I'm talking about. None of you have done that, right? Come on. You might even say, does that really happen? Huh? But it did in the case of Zacchaeus. If you read the scripture, you find that he was probably one of the richest men in town. He was also hated as a tax collector for Rome. But even so, he was wealthy. As one song goes, a wee little man was he. He had to climb up a tree to see Jesus pass by. But since Jesus saw that Zacchaeus wanted more, Jesus stopped so that he could get him what he wanted. I'm going to tell you something today. Success in life doesn't satisfy. That's the problem with the culture of today. People are so, you see these motivated speakers. Motivational speakers. Some people say I look like Mike Ditka. You guys have Mike Ditka here today. What do you think? I will tell you this. Mike Ditka is an awesome motivational speaker. Once I found out that everybody was commenting how much I looked like him, I got stopped so many different places. I got stopped at the Los Angeles airport going somewhere, and this lady would not let me go. She kept nagging me and nagging me and nagging me to sign her autograph. I finally did, not Mike Ditka, but I finally did and went my way. So after doing all this, I finally looked him up on the internet and listened to him speak. He is a great motivational speaker. But motivation doesn't satisfy the inner soul. It might satisfy the intellect. It might satisfy your standings with other people. But it doesn't satisfy the soul. Success doesn't satisfy. Because after you have eaten everything there is to eat, gone everywhere there is to go, seen everything there is to see, you will still have an emptiness of a life chasing the wind. You see, if you could have everything in this world, what does it profit you if you lose your own soul? Amen. Zacharias had come to the conclusion, I'm obtaining a lot but losing more. I'm climbing higher but sinking lower. Success was not the answer. Success in life doesn't satisfy because it will pass away with you. Solomon learned this long ago when he said, the glory of man fades away. Another statement was, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. See, Solomon had it all, yet he had nothing. You can have it all in this life and yet have nothing. Amen. One day you're a great success. The next day you're forgotten. What was today's big story, big news, is tomorrow's no history, no news. All men's crowns tarnish quickly. Zacchaeus knew this. Zacchaeus knew he needed more than what he had. And Zacchaeus finally figured it out. I need to get to that master. I need to get to that man walking down that street. Now you understand, he was small. All these people, you get, you know, Pastor Tim and Pastor Roger up there, and I'm behind them. I couldn't see. I'm sorry. I had to tell him, put me in front. I got to see. Put me in front. None of you are like that, you know. But you know, reality is, he was a short person. And all these other people in front of him says, I got to see Jesus. See, he made the effort to do what it took to get to see Jesus. We need the effort. You need to do what it takes to see Jesus. Whatever it takes to see him. If you get there, he'll satisfy your soul. And here's what he gave Zacchaeus. True success was a peace in his life that passed understanding. Sometimes we think too much of the brain and not much of the heart. And I've heard these churches say, don't get so emotional. Come on, Pastor, you know what I'm talking about. You know, don't get excited. Come on, keep your cool. They're too religious and too intellectual to understand that God wants the Spirit. Did God give us emotions? Some of you might know that. Did God give you emotions? Well, if he did, there's a reason for it. And that reason is when you feel his Spirit, you feel that Holy Spirit upon you, then God says, use it. Well, Pastor, what you saying? If I'm at the store and all of a sudden I'm testifying to somebody and the Holy Spirit comes upon me, what am I supposed to do? I can't do that. They'll think I'm funny. Guess what? To them you are. So why not do it? Why not be blessed and do what God tells you than what man tells you? Woo! That's not even in my notes. Jesus gave him the one thing no one else could give him. A bank account that would never run out. How many would like that one? An investment in things that would never pass away. Jesus gives true fulfillment in life. Treasures in heaven. Zacchaeus realized in Jesus Christ, I finally have what I've been looking for in my whole life. Now, if you go on the rest of that story, you'll find out that in the meeting at his house, when Jesus was there, he was so excited. I mean, Pastor, I know you're going to like this one. He was so excited, he was giving money away. Right. And us pastors would say, bring some my way. I'll take some. But you understand, when God gets a hold of you, your wallet won't be so tight. When the tither comes around, the offering comes, there won't be cobwebs in there. Come on. Hear what I'm saying. Well, let me get on here. I told you it was going to be 2 hours. I don't even know what time it is. Woo! I better get moving. The last one. There's many more in the Bible, but I like these four. And the last one's found in Mark chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. Mark chapter 2. Then he went out again by the sea, and all the multitude came to him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, which was Matthew, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax table. And he said to him, follow me. So he arose and he followed him. Two words. Jesus walked by, saw Matthew sitting there, and says, "Follow me." And Matthew, without even thinking, picks up, leaves everything he is doing, and he follows Christ. Oh, my goodness. He said, "I believe I've got to have more than this. More than collecting taxes at this table. More than just being a face in the crowd or a number on the wall." You know, Christians, that's what we need to do. Jesus is walking through the aisles right now. And he's calling out your name. Follow me. What are you going to do? Oh, I like that answer. Follow. Follow Jesus. Christ offers more today than what a mundane job might offer. He offers more today than what this world can give. He offers all of them and us a chance to make a difference in the lives of other people. He gives us a bigger purpose than ever before. He gives us vision to reach a world that is lost. Today, there is more. Do you understand that? There is more. And Jesus is saying, "I'll give you more." We live in Spanish Springs, Sparks, and Reno, the area. This whole area is in desperate need of a Savior. You can't walk too far and you'll see the highlights of what culture is doing to people today. Homeless. Oh my goodness, I can walk down the street, anywhere down the street here in town, and you'll see homeless. Tim, I know that you guys there in Frisco probably saw quite a few. You know? They need Jesus. They need Jesus more than they need the life that they're living right now. They need Jesus. How are they going to get that? How are they going to? Follow me. Jesus is walking these aisles right now, calling out your name. Follow me. But I can't. But I'm a shy person. I'm so small at stature, nobody will see me. Well, then get in front. Huh? Open your mouth and let Jesus speak. Amen? I'm so tired of the excuses people make about not witnessing. Excuses are a dime a dozen. But only when you say, "I'll follow you, Lord, wherever you lead me." That's when he'll open the door. There's a revival coming here. You already got a revival. There's a prophet coming here that's going to give healing to those sick. Going to give healing financially, healing spiritually, healing emotionally. What you as a church should be doing, and I know what I'm going to be doing as my church, be encouraging people to come. Man, if there's people out there sick, they're in wheelchairs, somehow or another, get them out of their wheelchair and get them here because God's going to heal. Do you believe that? Well, then when I come, those three nights actually, then there's going to be tons. There won't be enough room, Pastor, right? There won't be enough room. And God's going to come miraculously and heal. And heal. There's a new life. There's living water. There's forgiveness of sin. There is a purpose and a vision for your life. Today, if you want more, Jesus is more.
Like Nicodemus, you don't need more religion. There's enough of that in this town. You need more life that Jesus gives. Like the Samaritan woman, you don't need another earthly relationship. Understand, she had five. Okay? You need a heavenly relationship. You need the living water that Jesus can give, and when you got that, all your relationships will be better. Yeah. There won't be divorces. There won't be mad at your neighbor. Take out your gun and shoot someone. See, that's the problem. Relationships have gone so sour that people are taking things in their own hand instead of God's hand. Come on. Like Zacchaeus. You don't need more money. You don't need more things. You need Jesus. And like Matthew, you don't need a job. Well, maybe some of you do. You need a heavenly relationship. It was said earlier today, I think in one of the prophecies or the exhortation, Matthew 6:33, it says, first seek ye the kingdom of God. First seek the kingdom of God. We've got that reversed. Oh, God, when I get rich. Oh, God, when I'm driving my Cadillac. Oh, God, when I got this or when I got that, then I'll come to you. You've got it reversed. Because that scripture tells me, and it tells you too, that if you seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, then he said he'll give you everything else. Is that right? Yeah. Amen. He'll give you the desires of your heart if you'll seek him first. And I'm telling you today, seek the kingdom of God, seek his righteousness, and when you do that, every desire of your heart. Do you know that your desires of your heart will change? Once you get a hold of God and you really get a hold of God, all of a sudden that leader jet doesn't mean nothing. All of a sudden that Cadillac won't mean as much. You can drive a VW Bug. They're pretty expensive too today. So, but it won't mean anything because you'll get your priorities straight. You get your priorities straight, and God will give you the desires of your heart according to his riches and glory. Hallelujah! Sharon, come up. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. No matter what you're going through, give me Jesus. And I know we all go through things. Amen? Yeah. I'm going through something today, this too. And if I wanted to dwell on it, it could really put me down. But I dwell on Jesus. Yeah. I dwell on the strength that he can give. Right. What he can do, that's what we need to do today. And with every head bowed, every eye closed, and every heart praying, I want to ask this one question. Well, I got a couple. But the big one is, have you asked Jesus today, I've got to have more? And if you have not asked that question, and you want more of the Lord, you're not living the life that you need to be living. And God says, I'll give you that life. I'll give you the salvation that you need. But you've got to make the first step. No one looking around. If that's you this morning, raise your hand. That's as simple as it is. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see the hands all over. God is saying, I will give it to you. But you've got to make the first step. I want to talk to Christians. You're satisfied. You're warming a pew. But God says, I want more. He wants more than a pew warmer today. He wants Christians active. Christians that will be willing to fight the spiritual fight that the world is going to throw at you. You need to understand what was said this morning. The devil's out to steal, kill, and destroy. We need Christians that will stand up and say, enough is enough. I want more of you, Lord, so I can take what I have here and take it to the highways and the byways and lead more into your house. This church should be filled. God is calling you right now. He's walking down those aisles right now. He's talking to you individually. He's telling you, follow me. If your heart's cry is, I need to have more, Lord, Jesus is willing to give that to you this morning. For those of you that raised your hand, and those of you that feel like you want more, I want to open these altars to you right now. Sharon's going to sing a song. I'd rather have Jesus. And as she sings that song, come forward right now. Come forward. There'll be altar workers here to pray with you, but come forward. Come forward. If you need the Lord, come forward. If you need more, come forward. He's here for you. Hallelujah. Someone, if you're an altar worker, if you love the Lord and you just want to see these people get more, I want you to find someone and pray over them. Come on. Come on, prayer warriors. Come up here, find someone to pray with. Come on, prayer warriors. Find someone to pray with them. Pray them through that they'll receive more. More. More of you, Lord. More of you, Jesus.
I'd rather.